This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on this wonderful station. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. Again, it's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday. And like I say, we on this show talk about a lot of topics. We talk about health, we talk about politics, we talk about the church. We talk about a lot of solutions that our country, a lot of problems that our country is facing. And we also have a lot of persons who call in to give their 2 cents, and they have a lot of great solutions to the country's problem. Today's show, we're going to have 2 segments of the show. We can talk about a lot of topics that's going around in the country. One of the things we're going to talk about, we talk a little bit about the tariff that the U.S. Is implementing to better their country. We'll also talk about, you know, Bahamians are dying prematurely, and et cetera. We'd also talk about what we're expecting from our politicians and candidates coming up in the new year coming up when it comes to politics in the country. It's getting close to the general election come 2026 next year. Would be general election where we'd have 3 parties going at it for the leadership of the country, a coalition of independents led by Lincoln Bain and Company, Free National Movement led by opposition leader Michael Pintard, who's looking to become the next Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And then we have the Honorable Brave Davis administration, him and his deputy, Chester Cooper, is vying to persuade the Bahamian people to give them a next chance to be the next government. For about 20, 25 years now, we have not seen a repeated government. So we're going to see if the new day government it's up to the task of repeating and convincing the Bahamian people that they're their party of choice. But we want to talk about issues that have been happening in the country for a little while. And we'd like to have your 2 cents, if you could. So let me begin the show by talking about what's happening in the country. First thing we want to talk about that's happening in the country, we got claims being made against alleged crimes that has happened with our jet ski operators, allegedly. We have here we have 1 or 2 young men charged for rape in the country. And, you know, read the newspaper, they say we have a case of another unreported rape in our country. And, you know me, I'm all about the tourism industry in the country. I know that for us living here in the country, if we're looking for employment and we want to bring down the unemployment levels in the country, we have to find creative ways on how to reduce it. And one of my main suggestions or topic that I've been talking about for the last 20 years is how we could get those involved in the tourism industry, get more people involved in the tourism industry to bring down the unemployment that the country is facing today. Because there are many different side of the tourism industry that can be very beneficial to the Bahamian people, whether it comes to taxi drive operators, whether it comes to tour guide operators, whether it comes to jet ski, whether it comes to Braveneer, whether it comes to Airbnb, whether it comes to souvenirs. You know, there are so many different aspects of the tourism industry that we can incorporate in the next generation of Bahamian society in order to bring unemployment down and to find work for many persons in the country who can't find work, because we have a estimated, what it is, some 7.8 to 9 million visitors. We just broke the next record of overall attendance. And that includes land and sea by boat and plane. We have a high tourist arrival in the country. So within there, there's many aspects on how we can change the unemployment levels in the country if we incorporate the tourism industry as far as the curricular system. But the most important thing, I always said that when we get in the tourism industry, we also have to protect ourselves from ourselves. You know, because many of us who have the jet ski business in the country, which is a very successful business. Some days I used to go on the beach, and I still do frequently, and I would go and observe how they interact with the tourists that comes to our shores. And the prices range, you know, from anywhere from 30 minutes. I think it's 30 minutes is anywhere between $100 and $150 for an hour with a jet ski. 30 minutes to an hour, I think they charge like $150, you know, for guests that comes to our shore to go on a jet ski. But besides that, we also have to teach ourselves that the guests that comes to the Bahamas, we have to understand that they come from a very unique background. There are many cases in the country that we've seen over the years that when our guests come to the Bahamas, they more come to vacation. Some people come to vacation, then some people come with other alternative ideas in their head. Now, over the last couple of years, we were seeing that many Bahamians are being charged, investigated, charged for various different offenses when it comes down to rape and et cetera. Sometimes it's over-exaggerated. In some cases, it's exaggerated by the guests who come to our shores. Sometimes they come here and they look into get a lawsuit, you know, because they look at the Bahamas as a guinea pig. You know, they come here with intentions of, you know, sometimes, you know, they experience the Bahamian culture, and sometimes people come here, you know, in their mind for sex, all right? And, you know, sometimes it get exposed because people, again, looking to sue the government or sue the hotel. And there are many cases we can pinpoint in the country where we're seeing things like that happen. But in some cases, jet ski operators and as well as persons who are in the tourism field, they kind of forget that they are in a profession, you know. And when it means profession, you have to be a professional in the field of tourism, because you're interacting with them. And one complaint against them is one complaint against all Bahamians in the country. So persons who are going to the tourism industry, they need to understand and teach their staff and their members to separate business from pleasure. I'm not saying that the guys them who were now before the courts are guilty, but at the end of the day, the investigation was ran along, and then based on the evidence, I guess, the Royal Bahamas Police Force charged those guys based on the evidence. It doesn't mean they're guilty, but they're charged before the court, so it means they have enough evidence to proceed with the indictment. And it's a slap on our face here in the country because, you know, we're hearing about this rape, and it makes you think. But many of our jet ski operators, you know, they mean well, but at the same time, they look and see these beautiful women that comes to our shore, and males that come to our shores, and in between there, they forget that they are employed, and what they're supposed to do is not to interact with the guests, not whilst you're on the job. I think that if you are in the field of hospitality, whether you're working in a hotel, whether you're working as a jet ski operator, whether you're somebody who interacting with guests, you should be able to say to yourself that they're guests that comes to our shore. I have the respect it as business, and not as a business and then go into relationship. You can do that in your own spare time, but as long as you're on the job, as long as you're interacting with them, if they come off the ship, they out fish fry, and we as citizens, you know, we have to know how far to go with them. I can't tell no one how to control their lives, but based on the fact that their guests come to our shores, and we sometimes might get lead on in different manners because, you know, we are friendly. And instead of us looking at our business, we start to take it personal where we want to get intimate with the guests. You ask me if there's anything wrong with it. Yeah, there is something wrong with it. I think that we should be taught how we should interact. Like, for instance, if you have a business establishment that deals with a lot of communication means that they're coming off the taxi, they're coming to your establishment, and then they're going to use your equipment, whether it's your jet ski or not. Your employees should be trained and taught how not to interact with the guests that comes to our shores. Because they're not just guests. To me, they are customers, and they come from Florida, they come from Milwaukee, anywhere in the 32 states of America, and they come in their summer vacation to come to the Bahamas because we are one of the most top destination in this part of the Western Hemisphere, and we are probably one of the safest destination in this part of the Western Hemisphere when it comes to how close our proximity is to the states, you know. So yeah, we have to be able to teach our employees on the job how to interact, because now you're seeing where we're getting. Let me just read it. According to the newspaper, police are not publicly disclosed two alleged rape involving Americans, tourists, and jet ski operators in the past month. Cases highlighting the heightened advisory issued yesterday by the U.S. Embassy in Nassau, which warns travelers of sexual assault risk try to jet ski rentals in the Bahamas. Reported that a Carnival Cruise Line passenger alleged a jet ski operator raped her near Junkanoo Beach. A man has since been charged with raping the 23-year-old. Let me go to page 8. So yeah, and we have to be very careful, you know, in the tourism industry. And like I say, you know, a lot of people come over here to do this stuff, you know, off record, what I'm saying to the general public, You know, they think that the Bahamas is, you know, they could do anything they want to do in the Bahamas. But at the same time, we have to be respectful and protect our identity as a loving nation towards, you know, our neighbors. Because, you know, it's our bread and butter here in the country. So I would like for those people in the tourism industry, you know, to really talk to their staff, put them through training, let them know what you expect from them when it comes to interacting with the tourists. Let them know how far to go. You know, as long as you want a job, you should not interact with the guests. You know, there should be restriction. I'm saying now in response to that, the Minister of National Security, Van Munro, the suggestion that the tourists who come to our shores wear body cameras. It's a great suggestion as well because, you know, you want to make sure that they're always protected and their cameras speak for itself. One of the reasons I think they suggest that, just making that suggestion as well, is because they want to make sure that a lot of the I guess they're doing that because, you know, a lot of allegations are being made against Bahamians, and they want to make sure that ban the body cam. Why is she on the jet ski? This gives a look on exactly what is happening at the appropriate time, who lead who on, and you would get more evidence to verify both sides to see who is guilty or not, who is lying or who is not. But we have to put these procedures in place because we are being warned. Persons are being charged, and we have to protect Bahamians from themselves. And I also think that it should be regulated now where we have persons checking on these spots where the jet ski operators are operating to make sure that, you know, they're abiding by the rules and regulation to make sure that there's no slackness going on. So we need, like, persons just to come and check and make sure that, you know, they fall in the requirements when it comes to interaction. Then they are not in breach of no violation of the sea when it comes to how you operate the jet ski. So, yes, yeah, very, very sad day in the country, but we have to put alternative measures in place to protect behemoths from themselves and protect our identity as a country. So, like I said, putting body cams on tourists while they are on the jet ski, that's a great suggestion. And like I said, the next suggestion is that owners, you know, train their staff how not to interact sexual. If you want to get sexual, that is something you're going to have to do off the job, not while you're on the job. Okay? Keep it professional. And I think that's what we need to do in the country. So again, to the jet ski operators, I think that you guys have an honest living. You all have a great business. I think you just have to brief your staff, let them know the requirements on what you're expecting from them and how they interact with the tourists so that we don't have these scandals degrading the Bahamas and helping us in the news and in the world when we can put measures in place to stop it. So, yes, we have to monitor the situation in the country. Okay. We could play the first clip.
U.S. Embassy in Nassau advised U.S. citizens of the risks of renting jet skis in the Bahamas. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe says he hopes to see the implementation of body cameras for tourists riding jet skis sooner rather than later. In a security alert issued on Wednesday, the embassy said Nassau jet ski operators have raped and sexually assaulted American women, with two American women reporting rapes in the past month and three rapes reported in 2024.
It is our view and the police's view that I support that requiring body-worn cameras to be attached to the life vest when you rent a jet ski would seek to mitigate some of the issues, both issues spoken to in the advisory. One, most people commit sexual offenses in private when they talk about taking to the island. So if you have live camera on it, then you're never alone. And the body-worn four cameras actually permit you to communicate to a base So if you get injured, you can call for help.
According to the security alert, the victims allege they were raped and assaulted on isolated islands near New Providence. Monroe expressed optimism that a live cam would serve as a deterrent.
That has been put forward by the police. It would require coordination from tourism, transport, who licensed the jet skis, to put this into regulation. And I'm hopeful that that's going to move forward sooner rather than later. While one doesn't jump to a conclusion about innocence or guilt, the U.S. Embassy will warn its citizens based on what it sees to be credible threats. And so we have to move to minimize those threats.
Police have proposed that the cams would be worn by the person renting the jet ski.
Because we were told that these are rogue renters who aren't licensed by the port. Centralized renting, and the renter would wear it. And a tourism product would be, at the end of it, you should be able to download and get a video of your ride that you could share with friends, put on your social media content. But we have to take away the secrecy in which sexual offenses are committed. Most people do not commit them in the open. And so anywhere that you shine a light will limit or seek to discourage it. As I say, I'm hopeful. I think the police side is a very good one, and I hope that it can be implemented.
Monroe added another proposal is centralized jet ski rentals.
There have been these complaints. The police have charged a number of persons. So being a tourist destination as we are, we have to make a step in safeguarding not only the industry, but more importantly, those citizens from the Bahamas and other countries who come here. In response to this, I've been in communication with the police. We're of the view that centralized renting would be an approach to it. In fact, at Coconut 360 in Rawson Square, the U.S. charge asked, why can't they be rented from a little store like we did for the coconut vendors?
Guardian News Network, I'm Vonnie Tude.
Yeah, there's some great suggestions. The government and the police is recommending when it comes to ensuring the safety for Bahamians and our guests from America that comes to our shore. So it's a step in the right direction, you know. And he talked about the islands and stuff, and he's talking about how these things occur. Not to say that no one's guilty, but these things, you know, are not done in the open. They're done on private beaches and stuff like that, that the jet ski operators know these particular spots. You talk about some are unregulated, unlicensed jet ski operators out there operating. So now this has made it bad for guys out there who probably didn't have a license, who now they've been exposed. Now they would probably have to go and get themselves licensed, get themselves trained. You know, these are things that we're going to have to do based on the fact that, you know, these lot of incriminating matters that are going internationally. So we have to put the right mechanism in place to protect the Bahamas and our identity as a nation of tourist destination. Could we play the next clip, please?
Understands the importance of wellness, and funding is finally available in my budget to support private programs in the private sector. And Bahamians are dying prematurely from diseases brought on by poor lifestyle choices. The incidence of chronic non-communicable diseases is still on the rise in our country, and this morning we are here to discuss ways to fight back and develop strategies that work.
At the Wellness Unit, our mission is to advance and support the move toward a healthier Bahamas, person to person, community by community, and island to island. We are committed to ensuring that every Bahamian has access to the resources needed to live well, focusing on the four key pillars of the wellness: nutrition, spiritual well-being, physical activity, and mental well-being. We have made an impact in our community. Since the inception of the Wellness Unit, we have not only promoted wellness, we have made it a part of an everyday lifestyle.
Yeah, that is a little clip that I'm playing because we have seen an increase of chronically ill diseases in the country occurring. And the government has just launched their wellness unit that has been, I think, over 2 years or 3 years. Dr. Dowell was addressing the matter on the news, and he's talking about the health crisis in the country, and he's talking about diabetes, he's talking about cancer, he's talking about sexually transmitted diseases as well. You know, but when it comes to these diseases, inflammatory diseases, you know, most are linked to parasite, and it's all because we eat bad in the country. And now that this department is open, they're looking to have private organization to see how they can educate and assist those organization in the spreading news on how we can eat more healthier. Because most of the diseases we have in the country today is inflammatory diseases. And if you look at inflammatory diseases, it goes with sugar, starch, red meat, and all the stuff that we consume and we eat bad. And because of this, this is the result. And the study shows that if we eat more healthier and take care of our body, you know, a lot of people will die prematurely. A lot of people say, no, when it's your time, it's your time. I would agree to an extent, but also there are premature deaths that occur of eating bad habits, you know, that you shorten your life, okay? Kids at the age of 10, 12 have diabetes or high blood pressure. Persons in their 25 have these diseases, chronic ill diseases. How do they get these chronically ill diseases? It's because the food that we consume and what we put in our body is what makes us sick. So this program that the government is introducing, the wellness unit, and Dr. Dowell, he's speaking out on the chronically ill diseases in our country. And like I said, it all deals with inflammatory. You know, when you go to hospital, you always have this inflammatory, the throat, and stuff like that. All this is ties in arthritis. All this is inflammatory diseases, which can be reversed and can be maintained and can be eradicated as long as we get ahead of the problem. So that means we're going to have to go in the schools, we're going to have to go in the homes, and we're going to have to be educating on the news and going into schools and teaching you what are requirements to not put in your body as best as possible, what causes these chronically ill diseases. So we're going to have to educate. We're going to have to educate our kids, you know, let them know as much as possible instead of eating all the chips and the red meat and all the sugar we put in the tea, you know, and all of the bad food that we intake in our body, how we can educate them to reduce putting poison in our body as best as possible, because we have to get ahead of the problem. There are so many people in the Princess Margaret Hospital. They are premature, meaning that some of them have just been eating bad and have caused themselves to have inflammatory diseases, which leads to a lot of diseases, like chronically ill diseases in the country. And people, listen, let's go back to how we eat and what we are consuming in our body that's affecting us in this stage in our life. Okay, so we're going to have to find a way on how we can educate. You know, because there are people at the Princess Margaret Hospital right now who have to be removed out the hospital because there are no beds. So there are people out there who are sick, but the hospital can't keep them in because there are people waiting on the bed, you know? So we're going to still have to rush people who are in the hospital now out of the hospital to make space for other persons who now have to be admitted in the hospital. And some people who are getting admitted out of the hospital, they're not completely healed, but the hospital needs space for those who are just coming in the hospital. So that one has been up there for a month. You know, they're sick real bad, but the hospital needs the bed. So the hospital has to make a decision on releasing this person back to their family because they need the bed. So in order for us to reverse that, We're going to have to teach our kids on how to eat healthy in the country. We also have to teach our kids how to get into farming and agriculture and the fishing industry so that we could grow the right set of food to consume here in the country. With increase in TAF, it puts the country in uncharted territory. Okay, so what that means is this. Let me just read. Prime Minister warned that newly announced U.S. TAF have placed the Bahamas in underrated territory with potentially serious consequences for local supporters. I mean, it's local exporters. The cost of living and the tourism sector, the United States sweeping 10% base TAF on goods from more than 100 countries, the Bahamas included, could lead to a fresh infiltration pressure. Mr. Davis also aggravating already high prices at home and threaten economic. Go to page 8. Economic monuments. The new tariffs are likely to cause new inflationary pressure, which means higher prices for Bahamian consumers, he said in a statement. For a country like ours, higher prices will add to what is already an unbearably high cost of living. Mr. Davis said he would not sugarcoat the dangers posed by the sharp escalation in global trade tension. We may be in uncharted territory, but we know how to survive. He said the government has already contacted U.S. officials and is working with other Caribbean nations on a collective diplomatic response to the tariff. Locally, officials are consulting with Bahamian exporters to assess the impact and explore short-term policies to soften the blow. A key concern, he said, is the reduced demand from American buyers who currently account for the majority of export could ripple through multiple Bahamian industries. He also raised alarm about a possible U.S. economic slowdown, which would affect the country's vital tourism industry. In review of the challenges, he pointed to government steps to better position the countries, including establishing a national trade policy and a dedicated agency to diversely trade opportunity. He said the efforts to lower prices through long-term reforms remain on track. He cited the recent signing of additional agreements to expand solar energy and upgrades to the electricity grid, which he described as much needed and long overdue. Our country's first nationwide comprehensive energy reform underway, he said. I'm thankful we will face this new crisis with this critical price-reducing energy reform to motion. He said a reduced VAT rate on food and efforts to increase local food production are part of the bolder plan to ease economic burden on families. His statement comes days after Moody ungraded the country's credit outlooks to positive for the first time in nearly two decades. Mr. Davis welcomed the development. He acknowledged Moody's warning that the Bahamas remains highly vulnerable to external shocks. He concluded by appealing to Bahamian resilience. We have always found a way to create opportunities out of uncertainty. As a nation together, we will pursue a constructive path forward. Yes. Also, like I said, we're in uncharted territory. And he's talking about trade. And I think that the Bahamas also should be in trade with other Caribbean countries like we have been doing in the past. But it's more important now than ever when we're seeing countries like the United States who, you know, they are more concerned about the affairs of their country. So you can't blame Donald Trump for doing what he is doing. But at the same time, you know, he's trying to make America great again. He's looking at all the aspects on how he can build up the American economy, make America great again. And this is one of the things that he came up with, tariffs. I think this was in the 1960s that this has been re-entered in government. It hasn't been in government for a long time. So this is a bold step by President Donald Trump. And like I said, you know, for us as Bahamians and us as a Caribbean country, you know, we supposed to be in trade with so many different countries around the world. The Prime Minister suggested a few months ago, about 2-3 months ago, he talked about small business owners, you know, going directly to companies outside of the U.S. in order to counteract the tariff and also to bring down the cost of living in the Bahamas. So he suggested many Bahamian business go, you know, and travel and go directly to foreign business establishment and look to form business partners where you could get things wholesale and bring back at a cheap price here in the country so that we can bring down the prices, you know, because we say things are very expensive in the country. So the government is saying, you know, go, travel, make some connection, get the best deal that you can, make sure that the products, top line products, and bring it back from wherever you make your connection or your purchase, come back to the Bahamas and sell it at a cheap price to Bahamian customers. And they are encouraging that, and I think that's the only way we're going to be able to deal with these tariffs and the expensive food items if we were to go around the world and check at the prices and the price range and be able to buy wholesale and bring back to the Bahamas to put it in a shop, whether it's tennis, whether it's grocery, whether it could be anything that you feel that you are in that business sector, you know, because like I said, you could go to the States, you could buy a pair of Nike for, let's say, $60 or $80, and you could come back over here if you want to. You could sell it for $100. You know, some people come back and sell it for $150 or $200, but you could be the cheapest. And that's why we are saying these things to you. You know, you could get tennis and shirts, 2 for the price of 1 in the States. And that's why I say it's good to buy wholesale. It could be China as well. Because sometimes you go in the store and you buy a tennis, they tell you get 2 pairs for a certain price. And then they say, if you buy 2 pairs, you could get a pair free. So if you buy wholesale, you could imagine you getting how many different extra boxes of tennis that you could sell at a cheap price. So you gaining by buying wholesale. So what the Prime Minister and what the government is saying is that you got to go there and check around in the world and start your own trade agreements with different countries, Jamaica, Haiti, China, or wherever it is that you can make a connection with. If you notice, most people have gone into the Esti business, and many people are buying cars from Japan, and they rent them as Esti. Okay? That's a good investment as well. You know, Sometimes you could rent an SD for $250 a week. You know, some people have it even cheaper, you know. But they go and buy cheap Japanese car. They buy them like 10, and then they come and they invest in the cars, turn them into SD. But in a year time or 2 years time, you have made your money back. And then you're going to buy some more cars. So stuff like that, you know, stuff like that, stuff like that. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. So I just want to encourage, you know, just encourage boys and souls there to take advantage of the opportunity and, you know. All right. It wasn't too much to have a conversation this week. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I just wanted to rub those one or two little comments in to encourage. All right? And I love the fact that private entity can be a part of the wellness unit. So that means an organization like Lenan Bahamas, Omar Thompson, United Against Crime, and probably even the church can get some tips from the wellness unit. You know, tips on what you can eat and what medicine you could take, or, you know, what bush medicine you could take for a lot of the ailments in the country and how to lower your diabetes and stuff like that. So we need this branch off from the wellness unit in the inner city community so that we could apply it, you know. And we need to start to teach the Bahamian people on some of the ingredients, like when it comes to herb, on what you should avoid as much as possible if you can. You know, because living healthy is very expensive in the country and many people don't have the resources, so they opt to get the cheap stuff, which are actually the poison that we're putting in our body. So, yeah. Okay. It's 7:29. I just want to go. I think I talked about that a little bit. So if you're interested, I'm going to go to the recent switchover from the Free National Movement to the Coalition of Independence. I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about the Honorable Hewitt Minnis has been denied an opportunity from the leader of the opposition, Michael Pinta, to run in the next general election. And we hear in the Coalition of Independence saying that, you know, besides Mr. Lewis coming over, that there might be many more coming over. I don't know if the former Prime Minister, Dr. Hewitt Minnis, is going to switch over, but I doubt that. But anyway, let me just rub in my two cents on what I think on the matter. Just recently, as many of you knew, there was a lot of excitement happening in the political arena. You know, recently we talked about Hewitt Minnis. We talked about Mr. Lewis, who was a member of the Free National Movement and was a member of the PAC, representing the Free National Movement in the House of Assembly as the opposition looking to gain traction to probably win the next general election. There was many uproar with Mr. Lewis. He decided, according to him, he decided to leave the Free National Movement for whatever particular reason. He says that, you know, he talked to his representative, his people, meaning he talked to the citizens of the community. He must have had a community meeting where he talked to the whole entire electorate who voted for him in the next general election and asked them, do you think it's a good idea to leave the Free National Movement, and should I join the Coalition of Independence, which I think is a good thing, but I'm just going to show you that, you know, I read between the lines, right? And this is what he is saying. He said he did it for the people. He feel that the party he's with is not doing enough, fighting for the people, and it's gone in the wrong direction, okay? That's what he is saying, and that's one of the reasons he ran to the Coalition of Independence, because he feel it's the right thing to do. It was the right decision for him to do. But he stated that, you know, he talked to his constituency. I didn't see no persons saying that they support him to be a part of the Coalition of Independence. Now, I'm not knocking on the Coalition of Independence. I'm talking about the motive here, okay? Because I think the Coalition of Independence, we need our opposition, besides the Free National Movement, to talk about certain matters, you know, in the country, because it is politics, you know. It could be good or bad, but in any instinct, they're knocking on some points that is very interesting to the BMN people. I don't know if it's going to be enough to persuade the whole electric to support them. I know it's going to be very difficult. But anyway, back to the story. Mr. Lewis claims that, you know, he was disgruntled on the progress of the opposition under Michael Pintat, and that was one of the reasons he left. He said he left because, you know, he didn't like the direction of the party, and his reasons for going to the Coalition of Independence, because he said that the next party, he don't want to join the next party, meaning he don't want to join the PLP, because, you know, he's a member of the Free National Movement, was a member of the Free National Movement, so he don't want to go on the other side, because he said that, you know, he'd rather go to the Coalition of Independence. Well, I'd say to him, what he was saying about him talking to the people of him leaving the Free National Movement, like the public, you say, I think he lied. I think that was his decision made on his own accord. He didn't consult with no residents of the community that he resided in. I think that was a personal choice, okay? Which, again, and no knock on the Coalition of Independence, I think it's a bold statement. But don't use saying the people, you made this because of the people, and the people are suffering, and that the party that you represent, you feel is not headed in the right direction. No, I think it's your personal decision you made. I can't judge a man for making his own personal decision, but when you're saying the people, you lied on that, because we have been hearing this for many, many years, where we'd see persons come up in the House of Assembly and say they're speaking for the great constituency of Anglistan, right? They are speaking for the great constituency of Anglistan, and these people have not yet sit down with no people in the community when they make their personal political decision to either leave a party, all right? But they always use that. I talked to my constituents, and they told me this is their thing to do. No, that's a lie. You know, I don't like that. That's a lie. You're manipulating the general public for your own gain, okay? And I have nothing against Mr. Lewis. I just don't like the fact that they use the electrics, the constituents who have never talked to them about these matters, and they come on radio and say they talk to their constituents, and because they talk to their constituents, this is the best decision they're making for their constituent. No, that's the best decision you're making for you, okay? And don't involve the people, because a lot of politicians go on the news, and I see them standing up, oh, I'm speaking for the people of Fort Charlotte, but you don't consult these people on none of the matters. These decisions are just made by you, and then you use the people as a way to say you get the authorization from the people to make that decision. That is not you. Okay, Mr. Lewis, I don't know you join the Coalition of Independence, but when you say things like that, why don't you tell the Bahamian people? I'm not against him, but I can read between the lines. Why did you tell the Bahamian what is the real reason why you left the Free National Movement and join the Coalition of Independence? The real reason how I'm looking, we had this discussion, we were sitting down, we were having a discussion, we were saying why he left, and we all had a discussion, but at the end of the day, we came to our conclusion. I'm not saying we are right. This is the conclusion we came down with. Mr. Lewis knew that he was not getting nominated to run in the next general election, okay? Just as well as Dr. Human Menes knew he wasn't getting nominated to be the representative for the Killarney constituency. Mr. Lewis knew that, okay? He knew that. He knew that. So what is his option, okay? He said that he don't want to join the other side, means the PLP. You couldn't go on the other side because the PLP don't want you, sir. Okay? See, I was listening to how they talk, you know? The PLP didn't want you, you know? So what is your next choice? Your next choice is to be go join the Coalition of Independents because that is your best choice to be a candidate in the next general election. Because I understand, you know, the Coalition of Independents will support you because they need that. They need the persons like you to give them attraction, which I totally appreciate because now it gives them a voice. Okay, but to say that you directly left the Free National Movement because you feel that the party that you were in was not doing the right thing. The reason you left is because you were not getting nominated to be a candidate in the next general election. And that's the reason you switched it. And I'd like to read between the line, you know. And when we're saying historic, to me, like I said, when you're saying historic, and you look at them talk. Again, you're using the Bahamian people for your own selfish need. Okay, I understand the infighting. I understand that you're not getting nominated. But be honest when you speak to the general public, because we can reach you. Like again, I read through the line, and when he said what he said, I said, this gentleman here was not getting nominated. So he had no choice. So we see the Coalition of Independents, you know, and they showed him a warm welcome. They invite him in. And they make sure that the people to the airport, they welcome him back home to Freeport. And now we see that Michael Pintard has asked the PAC to take him off the PAC so that he don't have no information with the opposition's information and the government's information. So he has been removed from the park now. So again, he has been demoted. You know, it's a plus. The Coalition of Independents saying that they have a sitting member of parliament, but honestly speaking, he was not elected, even though, you know, he was elected under the Free National Movement. But to say that he is elected, they have someone elected in the House, which, like I said, I'm not knocking him. But, you know, if he won the seat as a Coalition of Independents, then that means you really have a seat, but they didn't win no general election. It's just that this MP who was disgruntled with Michael Pintard and the Free National Movement wasn't getting nominated again. So since he wasn't getting nominated again, he couldn't cross the floor with the PLP because the PLP didn't want him. So his only option now is to go to the Coalition of Independents, which I think that's threatening them as well. But the only thing I'm saying is I don't like the way how he lied and said that he's doing this because he felt that the Free National Movement was not, in his eyes, doing the right thing. Okay. So that's my little 2 cents on it. You know, if you want to call and comment on it, you can. We have a caller? Okay. Go ahead. Good night. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9
good night,
FM.
Scoogey,
I'm fine. Good night, good night.
Hey, Scoogey, man, I'm sorry about tonight. I mean, like, I want to blow myself into these fellas in the politics.
Yeah, I know. I just have a little discussion about it. Go ahead.
He's only end up with the same thing no matter what.
It's yes.
Promise and just tangent number and thing on it, man. Every time, no difference. Once they get in, that's it. Don't worry about nothing. They forget. But yes. Scoogey, what is on my mind, right? How are troops doing in Haiti, man? They never tell us nothing. They only say some defense force fellas going over there. They doing certain tasks, but they never give us no update on how they doing or what progress they making or whatever, so forth and whatnot. You hear anything about what's happening over there with our troops?
Well, they say none of the troops have been injured so far in Haiti.
Yeah, but then they still supposed to be giving us a little update and letting us know that they're going on any other.
Yeah, they should. But you should.
Like we in the dark, they say they, how it feel like no one over there. But you know what, it was ironic, right?
Yes, sir.
I was listening to Rodney Munk, the station Rodney Munk is being on, right?
Yes, sir.
He must be going to do surgery or something like that. He could have next fell any place and then who's be on your station with Luby and them, right?
Okay.
The fella, I think he's a defense work officer.
Okay, yes.
He sounds like he's touching that bottle, I took a bottle, so he just be talking, but he's running right up. Hey?
Correct.
Hey?
Yeah.
I mean, people just stay home and talk on the phone and call his friend, man, because Dino talks to the oven.
Okay. Wow.
He's a spiritual advisor. He take old Rodney Munker's show and just bust it right up. But you know what? My disappointment was, right?
Go ahead, sir.
He is a defense force officer who all this talking military talking and probation talk, right?
Yes.
I am so disappointed that he and I were talking all these big, talk, big time talk. And I disappointed because he ain't over there trying to save his country.
Yes.
Him and Luby and Fred Smith, man. No, seriously, mate.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, this is what the big joke is, right? You look around now, it's all good, right? Well, yeah. Aishan, right? All them got phone in their hand, walking about, looking around in the thing. And they ain't checking for nothing. And they ain't checking for Haiti, you know?
No.
Their country in turmoil. But they be sending a half man over there. I mean, if you do some dumb thing.
Yeah.
That's a hole in the bucket.
Yeah.
American ain't want to send no one over there.
Because they know what going to happen. American know what going to happen on that Grand Wall.
Why be there?
They can't be in that Grand Wall.
Why be there?
We sang on the CARICOM International Law.
We in the West Indies, man. We so unique.
Yeah.
We the only West Indies in this country, in this hemisphere, other than Omaha. That's Omaha, Bermuda. Okay? And we giving up our West Indian status, say Caribbean. Look at the hell the Caribbean is. Before this CARICOM come along, the Bahamas was the envy of all the Caribbean.
That's right. That's
you can
right.
remember that?
Yes, you're right. You're right.
And guess what? They're so jealous when they come over here. All the Caribbean people be jealous when they come over here. Nah, they ain't got no respect. They jealous, man. They just ripping us up. Why? Because we stupid. We give away our good gem and things to anything. Mm. Who does do that? I would have given away their future to a different nation. You realize, Kuji?
Yes, sir.
You realize all these different nations and things were formed, all of them were formed through wars?
Yes.
After World War II.
Yes.
Okay, and different wars before that. That's when nations were born, right?
Even Israel. Right? Even this Israel, right? That was born around that time, too, 1950.
Yeah, man. 1948. Israel came after 1945, yeah, after World War II.
Yes, you're right.
But the thing about it is, right? I mean, we have our unique situation, right? We get mixed right up with Finland cost us, you know. Because we in the West Indies, or we get mixed up in CARICOM. If we stay in the West Indies,
we'll
be in a better position and talking about than the mix up to say because we're trying to form a block because we figure we black and they black and all this black. So all of us stay in the back together, try to be the white man.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make no sense.
Mm.
All of us human, we need to be human place.
Yes, sir.
Because this niggerism thing and things like that, all we're pulling out of that, don't make no sense. Huh?
Yes.
Because this country where it comes from, it just handed down from who? The British man. Hello?
Hey.
The Spanish are their time too, but never the French. Saw France get up inside there. You realize that France was once communist?
Yeah.
Then they were governing Haiti?
Yeah.
That's why they should have that mentality. When they move in some of that country, they even want to change their town. They try to change the language of the country. They be in there saying, they ain't interested in talking. You got to talk like us.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make no sense. One day something, I tell you no lie, right? You know the solution is to the country? We need to clean this country up and out, man. We basically are tourism products. We sacrificing that lobby, illegal migrants around the place, roaming freely. You think that make any sense, Scroogey?
Boy, listen, I can say this. Boy, there's so much right now. I don't know. I don't know what we can do right now. Buddy.
I mean, the government eye closed.
Boy, listen, it's
look,
too...
Hey, look at your body there. When you go, like,
boy,
go just ride around now.
Boy, listen.
All these people selling fruit on the ground. You think they can hear me?
That's it.
Open a stall any place and think of the policeman passing by straight and think like everything cool. Imagine that was a Bahamian.
Listen, buddy, I just was talking about this last week, right? this out of our hands right now. I don't think we can control the situation right now.
Yeah, it ain't really out of our hands, you know. What it really is, that the people who be put in place, they don't never want to put their foot down, see, because they want to be buddy, buddy, friend, friend, everybody. You know what our problem was?
Mm.
We were seduced into tourism, and we always were told to smile a thing at the foreigner and smile at them. So we get in this sleep and slumber where we smile at any, even legally smile at everybody. Then we giving these legal people pot status and giving all their children status and things like that. We need a government what's strong, would come in govern this country. Mm-hmm. And when you come here illegally, we cannot be given no prison. You know, you could be a million years, you illegal. You need to go. And all your seeds along with you. Mm. You didn't need to be serious in this country, man. Because then people, they serious. You think it's a game, eh? They don't understand what this thing is all about. Conquer. Divide and conquer. Annexation. Huh? Ethnic cleansing. Huh? Let me show you something. Look at all these murders and different things that happen in this country. Crimes and with illegal people caught in this country. And they still around this country. What kind of politics that is? What kind of government is we got in this country? Huh?
Yeah, so
when you do heinous crimes and thinking that you pay the penalty and you be deported, you and your family. Honestly, man, this is the government got to be.
Mm.
We can't take on a different nation's problem and then identity. We're playing the same thing at the heinous. You know, them people ain't worrying about us.
Mm.
They're worrying about themselves. They're destroying our country.
And I think we're destroying it ourselves,
honestly,
too, because,
man,
because
all
I think...
children and everything, up and everything. Look what they're doing with the schools. Half of the schools are out there. They can't go now out of the school.
I want to just knock on our government. See, we're here talking, but we're not blaming the right set of people because it's not us blaming people who are giving out the documents. Who are giving out the national insurance. It's not us who are giving the passport. It's the Bahamas government. That's why I say, my brother, it's a hard battle because our government officials in the last 50 years have been doing these illegal things in the country. So how it is me and you can fight when our government's giving out documents to persons who break the law? And the sad part about this, this is what we need to understand too. A lot of these persons come here on ships, right? Some go through the right procedure, but then a lot come on the ships illegally here in the country. Now, if they get in our borders...
There's nothing right about you from time when you come
right.
Illegal. It's a criminal. It's criminal.
Right. So that's what I'm trying to say.
I just want to finish this. Yeah, yeah.
When they come here and they get pregnant, right? And the child is born here. And if they go undetected, from the age of, from they born to 6 months to a year, and once they hit the Princess Margaret Hospital, and they get registered, there's nothing me or you can do no more because we cannot deny them health care. If you look at the agreements they signed.
That's why it's they want to be like that, right? See, until we get like real mind, you see Trump, they don't like Trump, what are you doing, right? But see, they may do some things that are rational or whatever, right? But at least that's a mind. He's down on principles. He say what he can do and he do what he say, okay? These people in this room around this country just joking and things.
Yeah, so that's why
there's too much different people.
See, and again, huh? It comes down again. This way it started from. It comes down again to both political parties, the PRP and the Free National Movement, who over the years have allowed illegal immigrants in the country to go and get voters card, to go get registered to vote, and once they get that, they're for them doing that, they get passport and they get work permit in the country, and they get citizenship, and that has corrupted us.
And what the Bahamas get in return? A bad name, bad reputation. The people who doing all these bad things still here.
Mm-hmm.
All these children still come up with the same mentality of what they got. This country finished. We let us be like this.
So again, it goes to our political leaders. They're the ones who caused the problem.
I mean, at the end of the day, right? I mean, we are at America front door, and that nation down south figure they could just whatever they could whatever they could do, right? But it could come a point when the guns could get put down, and then people need to go in that country.
Well,
all these different nations, they doing the right thing. They important, and they getting country together.
Yeah,
even Dominican Republic, they're their neighbor. They're neighbor looking to put up a wall to separate them, and they putting up they reporting more than still.
Yeah.
Okay. Only in the Bahamas. When last you heard about any deportations here?
It is. Let me just say this. You might not gonna like what I'm gonna say, right? But listen, you don't know who's in this country, boss. That's all I can tell you. All I can tell you, listen, all I can say to you. This is what I can tell you. You don't know who and who in this country, okay?
Hey, Guruji. I know about who in the country who I don't know, right? But the bottom line is, right, you know what? In a country, right, there's all this, like, dual citizenship, Haitian, Bahamian, and they say who they are. They Bahamian are Haitian, right? From the time you come with two nationality, you ain't loyal. You ain't loyal. And the government, I mean, what kind of government is give people, like, nationality, like, when you got a military force, strong enough.
Nah, you're getting the point. So what me and you saying is irrelevant because we don't have the power. Me and you don't have the power. They have the defense for us. They have the courts. They have the detention center. So it makes it seem like we against the people, right? But it's the government who are causing all the infractions. All the passports. Listen, that's it. If you go and you look at all the passports that's been issued in this country to foreign nationals, whether you Haitian, Jamaican, or whatever, who gave it to you? The Bahamas government.
The
Bahamas government. On the passport, it's the Bahamas government.
They quickly give these foreign passports, right?
So what I'm saying, right? The person we need to be blaming for all this mess in the country is all the Minister of Immigration who have been there for the last 50 years. So if we want to change, see, we could row all we want. I'm trying to show you where the problem starts from. It don't start from me and you. It starts from the government of the country. Because every year you look in the newspaper, you see people of nationality applying, and you see them in the newspaper.
Yeah, but then see, when these people and things like that, you realize who's be given the passport. Because look at all these different administrations. They're ready anybody to get these passport and things like that. Who
did
be one person, you
know?
Who did this? The minister. Whoever the minister this week. And this is what I'm saying. All the people work under the directive of the minister.
Yeah, okay.
So it's about politics, right?
Okay.
And the poison called politics in this country will be atomized in this country. Because guess what? Like I say, as long as you hold two different passports, you must be loyal to something.
Yeah.
And you're loyal to this. Because if you're loyal to this, you'll be in English, all right? Yes. And if you're loyal to this and things like that, you wouldn't be demanding that an hospital and other government institutions. We got a secret. We ain't seeing no Chinese, Mandarin. We ain't seeing no German. We ain't seeing no other kind of strange, like no Arabic or nothing. Why is it that we got to ensure one national who like they handicapped when they ain't?
Well,
all of them got cell phones and they could communicate.
Right?
What kind of dumb government would allow? You know what? This government is so, I can say, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what? In their right mind, who would do that to their own? Who these people are?
Well, it comes down again. It comes down again. We are setting all our own country because we want to win.
We want to be inclusive of me, and it ain't me, man. Don't say
we. But that's what I mean.
What I'm saying
is this. Listen closely. Both political parties go to places, and if you watch former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Minnis, a few when he had Campbell as the minister. He went to a church. Then we had the next Brave Davis just recently. He went there and he said these things. So again. You get my point?
Yeah, man. This is, buddy. We gotta be living in a nightmare, you know, but because only in bad dreams, you can't have no say. You don't know where to hear your voice.
It's about.
And you know what? You can't run. You can't hide. All the pain on you.
Yep.
Everyone gets it except you. And you know what? Like in the nightmare, the Bahamian people is the you in this nightmare.
Of course.
And you can't run on the government.
Right.
All right? Because you know what? You can't even speak bad about the government because you know what? They'll punish you.
See, let me.
Right? And they don't make no sense because guess what? What they need to punish is wickedness and evil doing and not doing
in,
the job
in
that
high
they
places.
Go up there to do.
See, your prime
That's
example.
What they need to punish yourself.
Prime example, we just had a dispute about passport given out and they find out they're a forgery. Have anyone been in lockup from the passport office?
No.
Has there been an investigation? How much years have we been seeing this happen, and yet still we're not seeing our authorities doing nothing?
Hey, Guruji.
Why?
Hey,
I just said
it. Guruji. Listen to the minister just even like today or yesterday, right? Saying that some must be 2,025 or 2,300 Bahamians are like without passports stranded in the U.S. or whatever, and they have no way to get a passport because of the process, and you know you need to get this and get that. Want me to say something? this is foolishness, right? Because you know what? They don't go through all the red tape and things with illegal people and people.
Anyway.
Nonsense that they do. One day something I tell you, know, like, Scrooge, right?
Yeah.
My passport, I get my passport, you know, you know how long it takes me to get my passport sorted out?
Six months,
my foot. Almost 6 years, right?
All right, wow.
You mean?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
That's the evil they do. You know what? And it's so spiteful. It's like, you know, it's like it's intentional. It's like, yeah, you don't want to hear what they're like. They negative your passport. Okay, you'll be human. Your parents.
I get a sentence.
A long time, I think.
Yeah.
And they got the grandparent and all that. You know, you got to find out when they break their ears and all kind of thing. And come back and make sure this and that, right? And come back and think, no, that I didn't name this and that. McCoy, they run you to the hoops, okay? That's a Bahamian.
Yes, sir.
And Fred Mitchell and England, those passports for Bahamians, I ain't not no Haitian. We got enough of them here, and we need to deport all of them.
Well, that ain't gonna happen.
Hold on.
It ain't gonna happen. See, listen. Listen, let me tell you, my brother, listen to me. Look at the box. If people be in your 50 to 100 years,
right?
They incinerating your system. You don't know who is what. I don't care how much deport you could deport. How much people you want to deport? We can never ever get rid of the problem. Never, because half of the population now is based on this nationality and us. Never happen.
You're saying that, right?
Never happen. Yeah.
You know why you're saying that, though?
Mm.
Because that's how much billions in them here. They ain't no hundreds of thousands.
That's why I try to explain it to you so we can forget.
No, honestly, you want right. something?
Yeah.
The lies they always tell us after these different, when they go to do these, some survey to find out how much people in the population and this and that, right?
It never happen.
Well, look here, we finished.
Yeah, you got that right. The only thing we can do now is protect our borders. Stop giving them passports.
We can protect the borders.
That's the only thing we can do. Ain't nothing else we can do.
You cannot do it because you never did it before.
No,
I said we could
protect the border. No, I mean we could stop the infiltration by whoever coming in on the regular. We can't stop everyone.
You know the country like it needs really needs.
What it need?
It really needs to get like you say Trump do anything, he want Canada, he needs to want the Bahamas, you see? Because what if he want the Bahamas and thing like that, he can want the Bahamas and things, but him and other nationals and thing, all these other people and things from Afghanistan and Peru and Kenya and all these other nations and things like that. I talk about when you look around and things like that, look in your neighborhood, good.
That's why I can tell
you. Mexican and all kind of different nationalities.
That's why I can tell you what I'm saying when we can. Because I know I've been living in the city all my life and I've been living there. And I can tell you the volume of people who live in these communities. You would set yourself up to get killed in this country.
Hey, but let me say.
That's all I can say.
It's good, G.
That's all I can say.
You see, our government is a law, right? They allow anybody to come here, right? And to do whatever they want. Wait on the middle of the road, telling what they want on the side of the road, in your face, behind your back. Nobody, anything they want to do, they do, right?
Yes, but
you know what? Authorities, right? You know they focus on what the Indian doing.
Yeah.
You can't do this. No, you lost. You can't do this. Yeah. You know what? What kind of wickedness this is he living in and fight?
Right. But anyway, I get a couple of calls on the line. I'm going to get one or two of them. Yeah, man, but he did a wonderful job, man. I understand your passion. I even chip, but I just tell you, boy, listen, it's difficult right now. It's gone too far. Way out of hands. We can take this next call. Call, we have a few minutes. Sorry for taking so long. I'm really sorry for that. Go ahead, caller. If you're still there. Are they left? I'm sorry, caller. You know, the caller was making some good sense just now. You know, I like people to express themselves, you know. We have a next caller now. Go ahead, caller. Good night.
Yeah, bless this coach.
Hey, 52. Sorry about that, 52.
No, that was in me. Chris told me I was someone before me. But yeah,
okay.
your boy is a warrior, and so you know the thing is, see, you have a composed mind, right? So you, what you said was absolutely true, right? The miscegenation, right? You know they got the little beautiful Asian girls running around in the inner city right now, right, Scoogey?
Yes, sir.
And so you know. Me and you, Scoogey, grew up in the inner city. You don't think we have a lot of Haitian women, Bridget?
We can't get rid of that, man.
We have all kinds of Bridget in the city. You all of them. We don't even know who's who.
We don't know who's who.
We don't know who's who.
This,
you know what I mean? So, now the problem is the ones coming from the south recently, right?
Yes.
Let me show you what they did. It's a little female friend, right? Young lady. I treat her like a daughter. She works for one of my Bridget. So, she's Haitian, female. She born here, right? why I'd asked her one night when I was by his place, right? You have a little club, right? So I was like, I said, I asked if she ever been to Haiti. She said, yes, right? And she said, I asked if she liked her. She said, no. You listening?
I listen to
her. So she said, I said, I asked her where she been. She said, she been to the rich part and she been riding around in the poor parts and all that. She said, but for me, I tried to develop into a psyche, you know? Because, I mean, you know, there's up the little behemoth boyfriend and the little age, whatever they do. We don't matter to them because they sound like us, they talk like us, but when they go on the phone sometimes, they talk French. So she was talking French the other day and on the phone in front of me, I let her know I understand some of the things, like what she's talking about, you know what I mean? So it was concerning some money, so she just was surprised that I knew, right? So she said the reason why she don't like over there is, like, there's watch you, right? And then they hail you up, and they be like, once you dress up normal or clean, they be like, they be hailing you, and then she say they be like, they be complimenting you like that. Say, but you don't feel safe because once you're from the Bahamas, they think like you rich.
Yeah, they target them.
Yeah, and so and even so, we see with the kidnappers and they
yes.
Like, kind of these.
That's what
like
I want.
A mindset people the government allow to fill up in our country. That's why. But I had a Haitian woman by the bottle company one time years ago, almost 10 years ago, tell me she don't like demon, and she bleached right out, you know. I know she don't like herself. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I told you, so she bleaching so much,
yeah.
Skin red, and you know when she's going to turn black, it's a turn black, right? I mean, this is real. The demons is bleached too, but what I just said is she bleaching so much, like it started turning black where you're inflaming your skin, and so I know you don't like yourself.
Yeah, she hateful, that's why.
Yeah, but my friend telling me she don't like over there, and she don't feel safe. She say, man, they'll kill you for nothing. That's what she tell me. And you know what? Guess what, you know what she is? She 18, squishy.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a striving young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And people that treat her good. Normally, that I'm saying, because they see the striving. There's some people like, so what, to me, what I'm trying to say, the story is not about, like, people hating on nobody, you know what I mean?
No.
You see what I'm saying? But what that brother was saying is true, you know?
Yeah, man.
And so when I look at the whole overview of this, a panoramic view at 60 years old, almost ready to go in the grave to the king is imperial mighty, right, Gucci?
Yes, sir.
That is what it means. Now, I ain't know if the politician them think they can live forever, however they endeavor. Never say never. You see me? I can play with the words here, but I kind of vex because when I look at the decades of neglect and blind eye to this vaccine situation, right?
Yes, sir.
It shows that they are the real cause of this problem chronologically, whatever they decide to deny.
Yes.
And so now that it's come to head, right? Let's look at Governor DeSantis, or DeSantis. I think it's DeSantis.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
He passed something called the Shantytown Act.
Yes.
These jokers over here could have implemented that months after he did that to say, well, hey, at least we can make a stop now. You can't squat. You make it illegal to squat on Crown Line in any which event. The Shantytown Act, simple. Rush that act through Parliament. All these different acts, they rushing. They're acting. They're passing the act. They're re-acting. I look at all these things. I passed somewhere today. I saw some situation somewhere. Oh, a lamppost on the corner by East Street, but where Super Value is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lamppost, the base of the lamppost, the first, like, 6 feet out of the lamppost coming out of the ground, I don't know how much feet in the ground, is actually, it's damaged. Like, it's the lamppost is skinnier at that portion, but you don't believe it, they let that drop. They could see the, people that pass and see the potential asset, and they wouldn't correct it, they wouldn't change that post, you know, or the pole, you know. So I say, and to say this, Koji, the government could have done a better job in impeding this unabated problem here about migration.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And the brothers say the government is to blame, but I make a joke with Vice on them. You know what my WhatsApp profile is, Scoochie?
What it is?
A bunch of sheep wearing COVID-19 masks in the pastures. Because that's what we are, you know. And let me tell you something, brother. You mightn't believe it, you know. We are at fault, you know, because most citizens, even the white man in France, a riot the other day when the government tried to raise the pension act. We have become so pacified and docile until it's going to be the death of us, okay? Mm. And most imbeciles, right, believe that being a good citizen, I say most imbeciles, and that's what I mean. I'm not going to take it back. Being a good citizen is obeying every whim that the government inflict on you. That's the height of asininity and subservience to a slavish degree. Now, these things, I'm talking out of my head now. I ain't no one write no speech for me. You see me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you don't need to write no speech for me, but I'm telling you like it is. Just listen to my words, you know, brother.
Yes, sir.
You hear what they say, Scoochie?
Yeah, you.
These people, them, it's us. It's us.
Yeah.
We are lazy. Civically, we are lazy. And so, like I said, a nation of sheep will be gotten a government of what? Wolves.
Yes.
You see me? And that's just the way I see it. 20,000 or 30,000 don't gather down to show these jokers, them. Well, I mean, it's really ridiculous. Like I said, the little simple things, Coochie, like I said, you know, you could have passed the Shanti Tana. You could do. I mean, I listen to them. We see them giving out citizenship. Or they just don't give out one on the moon, look like. But they giving out citizenship, and they don't care. And they so rapacious, right?
Yeah.
No individual attacks, you know. They so rapacious for money and votes until the ship could be sinking. And they hope nobody else thinking, and they look good, and they want to be. And the imbecilic minds and souls still deifying man as if a particular person will come and save them. We still believe someone died for our sins, and that's what we believe, Scoozy. We believe that. We still believe. And all right, listen to me. Scoozy, me and my brother had an argument today, you know. People may call me stupid, you know. But a lot of people believe in life after death. But I don't believe that, you know, Scoozy. You want me to tell you why? That's a good story for me and you. We want to believe that we can live after we die. Just where does bread come from is where does grain. You know when you live after death, Scoozy? You listening?
I listen, sir.
To your children, you know.
Mm.
When you're dead, you live in to your children. You only see a bromeliad or some plants will always shoot a new baby or the banana shoot.
Yes.
A new baby before it dies.
Yes, inherit.
There's a reason for that. So I ain't into them. See, it sounds good for you to believe you can live forever. Mm. How? And with flesh? Where? You don't want to never do that. So as far as they're concerned, for me personally, but I can go to hell for what I believe in. It's how you live now, right?
It
and
takes.
When you're still in your children, and when you leave this earth, but your flesh gone back to God, where that come from, brother?
Mm.
That story sound good. Someone died for your sins, and you can live forever. Human beings hate to believe that after all this life and vanity and materialism, that they will be reduced to a state of nothingness. Your body will come emaciated. You will die and suffer like everybody else. School's plan. Don't worry about the transhumanists. You can't go beyond God. That's what the transhumanists believe in. Technology and science did not save mankind, but rather destroy mankind. Mm. It's done destroying us, destroying our minds and everything. Because you give thanks, Avex.
Okay, thank you very much for calling in. Yeah, I just like to say this, you know, you can't get rid of the problem. The most we could do is minimize it. You understand? I know a lot of poisons out there are very vexed, but it's a problem that has been going on for close to 100 years in the country. Poison's to blame. It's our government officials. The only thing we can do now, I know a lot of us are upset at what's going on in the country by recent comments made by our former leaders, both prime ministers over the years, both Dr. Minnis and both current Prime Minister Brave Davis. And many people still don't understand that when they look at the voters registry and you see all the persons who are registered to vote, there's a lot of people of that background in there. The government knows that. They know a lot of Bahamians who are Bahamian citizens are fed up with the political system. A lot of us are not going to get registered to vote. Many of us do go get registered to vote. But when it comes down to go vote, we do not. Our government has surveys. They have statistics. They have analysts. They know the majority of people here. In their parties, there are people both in the Free National Movement and PLP who are people of Haitian descent and these parties who are Bahamians. So that's where a lot of this connection comes in, you know. The only thing we can do is protect our borders. We have to make sure, like my friend Elroy Bryce was telling me, that instead of giving them a citizenship, we can give a, what you call it now, temporary work permits, temporary citizenship based upon that if you stay and you be a law-abiding citizen in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas without having no criminal offense, you study our nationality, you know how to sing our national anthem, you denounce your nationality, you know, and you go through the procedure. And if you don't get yourself in problem within a specific time, it takes you closer to getting your citizenship. Your citizenship can be revoked based on the fact if you are involved with illegal crime whilst you're trying to become a citizen of the country, you know. Those are the steps that a lot of people want to see. For those who are being here, going undetected in our country, because you must remember now, if poison comes to your country illegally, and even though a lot of people say that when you come to the country illegally and you're still here illegally, they're saying that once you're born Haitian, you're always Haitian. That is true. But also, we have a law in the Bahamas. I'm not taking up for the thing. I'm just telling you the law. There are laws in the book that requires us to assist those individuals. If they come here in this country on a sloop and our law enforcement, our defense force officers was not able to apprehend them out to sea, our police force and immigration officers,
when they get through the line of defense, means that they get through our defense force barrier, they get through the police here on land, they come here, they avoid all detections for like 18 years, okay? It's impossible for us to send them back because they've known the Bahamas for such a long time. 52 made a comment where he said that a lot of these individuals who are here, who are of Haitian descent, those who get sent back to Haiti, they are targeted because the set over there target those who come from Nassau and get deported back to Haiti. They are victimized, they are murdered, and they are treated badly because they are saying they are Bahamians. So even they mistreat their own when they go back to Haiti, you know. And like I said, me, as a citizen, I understand the plea of the citizen here in the country, you know. But for me, I know there are a lot of decent Haitian people who are Bahamians and who have that background, who I personally knew from living my entire life, you know. And there are so many of them incorporated in us that I don't even look at them as foreigners. But I do look at the set who come on the sloops. They're the foreigners who come on the sloops and walk around the streets, and there's so much in abundance here in the country. So we do have to fight for our country. But for those who are being stagnated here from the age of 1 to 18, I think the least we can do is give them citizenship, but let them work their way up to citizenship, okay? And they have to pass certain requirements, you know? It's a difficult, difficult situation, but those who we need to blame is our leaders, because they have allowed it. They give out the passport. They hook them up with the connections. So it's not me and you, people, you know. And I don't preach hatred, but I understand everything the Bahamian people are saying out there. Okay? I understand everything you're saying out there when it comes to this matter. It's a vexing situation to see that a lot of opportunities that are supposed to be with Bahamians are now in the hands of other individuals. But they also say that we are lazy, and I can believe that. I'm not saying all Bahamians are lazy, but people see something. They see this gold mine here. When they go to school, those Haitian national children, boys and girls, they study hard. Okay? They take everything for granted. Okay? They take every opportunity. That's why they're on the police force. That's why they're on the defense force. Okay? Some of the top jobs, these same little people who come here illegally and who come here from 1 to 18, they come here and they learn. They go to school early and they work hard in school. Okay? And then you look, they're on the police force, defense force. They're doctors, nurses, and stuff like that. So you can't blame them, you know? But we got to blame our politicians. We got to encourage more Bahamian citizens to be more productive in their country, you know? You understand what I'm saying? So the music is complete. I mean, the music's playing, not I mean the show has ended. I want to say thanks to each and every one of you who listen to Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge. It's always to be a pleasure on this wonderful show on Guardian Radio. Give a shout out to my friend, Elroy Bryce, and to all the callers, 52, all the callers who call in. You guys did a wonderful job here. I hope to see you all next week. And again, I'm going to say this. We have to do everything in our power to really empower the Bahamian people so that we can fight and make some dramatic changes in our community. You understand? Because when you really look at it, we are being left out as Bahamian in this country. I mean, raw born Bahamians. Okay, we're being left out. Unemployment, no empowerment. And then we have people from around other cultures are excelling here. You know, and that is a sad, sad thing happening in our country. Okay, so I hope you all enjoy the show. I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Enjoy, everyone.
Caliban say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season. Cutless, I go weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton Rouge. Where I from Baton Rouge.